What's up, everybody? It's your man Danelle, aka Small Guy Promotions, aka the Omaha Fatty, coming with another podcast episode of What's Up Omaha. Guys, I have like a great interview set up today. Like, I have no doubts that we're going to get some good content going out today. It'll be different from anything that I've ever had on the podcast in all the years that I've been doing it. Usually it's supporting local businesses, or I'm just sitting here talking by myself, or, you know, we're trying to promote artists or whatever it is, nonprofit organizations. But Small Guy Promotions, that is the name. I support the small guy. Now, recently, Courtney Kotzian has come across my radar because of an issue that has been going on and that she's been dealing with for years. Am I correct?
2 years.
Two years. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I read a financial planning interview the other night. I read it twice just to make sure that I really soaked it in and understood what was going on. So Courtney, I'll allow you to introduce yourself and then we'll just dive right into it.
Perfect. Hi, I'm Courtney. I also am in Omaha. I used to work at TD Ameritrade, which is now bought out by Charles Schwab. I worked there for 4 years. And during the last year of my employment, I was sexually harassed by a manager that was in my department. And I reported it. And I was, in a nutshell, I was bullied and retaliated against until I was kicked out of the place. And then I decided to tell my story all over social media, and at a point blew up all over TikTok. And so I most recently have been known for being a TikTok creator as the Omaha Oracle. So that's my name, the Omaha Oracle, which, you know, ties into the Omaha podcast, Omaha people. And I recently, as of Saturday, have been banned from TikTok because of speaking out about my story. And I've appealed it, and there have been some signs of life. I did get like an email back from TikTok. It might pop back up again this week. I don't know. I can't tell for sure, but we'll see. So I really appreciate you giving me this time and space to talk.
Yeah, I really feel like you are, in essence, the small guy or small gal in your case. So I just wanted to, you know, allow you an opportunity to tell your story. And for me, coming from it from the podcast aspect, it's more from like a journalism standpoint. Like, I'm not a journalist, but I thought that this was an opportune moment to like jump in. Like, I was really, again, and I know that this is something that you've probably dealt with a lot, but when you tell your story or when someone hears your story, there's a level, and that's how society is, there's a level of disbelief when you tell your story, because if I didn't see it happen, it's just hearsay. Mm-hmm. So, and that's why, like, I'm like, when I posted the article on Facebook, I was like, when people started engaging, I was like, I don't know the full story. I just read the article and I thought it was interesting. That's all that I said. And I said, I'm possibly going to have Courtney as a guest on the podcast because I want to hear the story. So let's first start off with the TikTok thing. So is it, you got banned because people were reporting your videos? Is that how it worked?
Yes.
So do you like, do you think there's some kind of like conspiracy that's going
yes.
on?
Yes. Oh, okay. Yes.
So you don't think it's just your average Joe that's like reporting the videos? It's just, you feel like it's like an inside job or something like that?
Oh, 100%. Like... Yeah. It's, there is a, what I've been, okay. This is a super long and complicated explanation. I'll try to like shorten it as much as possible. So trolling is a big issue online, trolling and bullying. And when I went to TikTok at first, I didn't really get much of that at all, which is what kept me going on that platform. Like, I didn't even want to go onto TikTok. I felt like I was too old for that as an elder millennial. I'm like, this is for kids. And my kids convinced me to do it because they're like, activism is a really big part of the communities that are on TikTok. And so I started TikTok and I formed a community. I have a very tight following of people who are willing to fight for me publicly, which is great. But when you start to get that big and you start to get that like important, like on the app, you attract a lot of weirdos. Now, in my case, I was not attracting weirdos like a lot of other people do. I wasn't attracting just random trolls. There was a couple of those. I mean, like, you're always going to get that. You're always going to get that one guy that's going to come on and be like, I don't like you. You know, you're always going to get that. There's no way around that. But mine were very specific. The people who were coming to my page, they were harassing and bullying me in the exact way I was getting harassed and bullied at work. And not just, and I don't mean that in like a, you know, like it was a similar pattern. They were treating me in a similar way. They were literally saying exactly the stuff that was being said when I was at work getting pushed out of my job. They were using exact examples of things I have said and done in the past that I had never talked about publicly. Like at one point there was a job that kept getting brought up that I had applied for internally at TD Ameritrade. And I had never talked to anybody about that publicly. And I'm like, how do you know that? How do you know I applied for that job and didn't get it? You know, like those are the people that were coming after me, and they make up what I refer to as sock puppet accounts. So they would have at any given time, pretty much daily, and I'm not joking, daily, from about November 11th until my page got shut down, there would be 5 to 6 brand new sock puppet accounts. Most of the time, the names of these sock puppet accounts were personal to me. At one point, my dead father had reemerged on TikTok to bully me. My minor children, I have a 14-year-old and a 12-year-old who have been doxxed on TikTok while coming onto my page saying I'm a terrible mother, that I abuse them, that their sexuality has been taken into question. They were outed as being gay and transsexual. Their pictures were used. At one point in time, and this was on my birthday, so this was back in December, my full address was a username, full address, my personal address. There has been talk that I was going to die, that me and my kids were going to die, that, I mean, it has been bullying on a level that I have never experienced in my life. And I'm almost 40. And I'm like, there's a lot of talk on my page about, you know, like, why don't you just delete everything and just stay off social media? One, I shouldn't have to. I should be able to tell my story about being harassed in the workplace without something like that happening, full stop. Like no one should have to experience that, no matter who they are. But second of all, I actually legally couldn't do that because on top of everything, and I won't go too far into that, there are lawsuits and legal cases. There are legal cases and investigations into this issue on every level. And I'm talking local police, I'm talking SEC and everything in between. There are so many authorities involved in this. And then on top of that, I became popular enough on TikTok to where I made a lot of really important friends, like a lot of very important friends. And I was being hacked and I was being bullied on a cyber platform. And the police are very slow to be able to figure out what's going on with that. Their technology is very far behind the people who are actually on these apps doing these terrible things, which was kind of nice because I made friends with a lot of people who are good at tracking people like this. Like, for example, one of my friends on TikTok, and we've been friends on TikTok for like months at this point, and we've just like casually chatted. I had no idea who he was, and I felt really stupid. When I finally like clicked in my head, I'm like, probably should have Googled this person a while ago. But it's like one of my friends on TikTok is the actual founder of the Anonymous Hackers. I'm like, how did I get connected with that? It's like nuts, but, and he's really cool. Like that's the funny part is like, he's really cool and kind of nerdy. And I'm like, I really enjoy TikTok because of that community base where I have found so many like-minded people, and that's great. But then I've become the poster child, literally the poster child for sexual harassment in the workplace. And then I went to TikTok, and I went there to tell everybody what happened to me. And I got to a point where I didn't have to tell it anymore. I could just show it. Just like look in the comment section. If you don't believe me, or if you need like a little bit more, look, just look at it. It's right here. And that was actually something you had said earlier. I don't mean to like circle back. I'm super.
Oh, no. I'm just letting you.
Just let me talk. Thank you. I can talk forever. Something you had said earlier about, and now I just lost it. It was something about, having a healthy amount of disbelief in when somebody's telling you a story that seems beyond belief, because my story seems beyond belief in this day and age. It's like, how can this happen? this doesn't happen. I've seen
people say that. I've seen, like, from that post on Facebook, people were like, I can't believe it's like 2022.
2022, right? It's like, how is this still happening? Now, that when it happened to me 2 years ago, when I got sexually harassed in the office, that was my attitude. Like, as it was happening, and there was another person at work, and actually, you know her. It was funny. Like, her and I talked recently. I'm not going to give, I'll just give first name. No, I wouldn't give first name. Greetings from Omaha is her handle and everything. I'll put it that way.
Is she still employed at TD Ameritrade?
Yes, and she's my star witness. Do you not, like, yeah, like, you know her. You and I never knew each other. That's the funny part, is that we have a million mutual friends. And honestly, all of my most important witnesses, my witness list, you know them all. And I find that hilarious. I'm like, how were you involved with all of my close girlfriends at TD Ameritrade and we never crossed paths? But, you know, that's... Yeah. I'm glad we are now. It actually kind of, I think, makes us more organic, and I like it. But so her, you know who I'm talking about. She was my cubicle mate. We're sitting right next to each other at work. Day before Thanksgiving, 2019, I get sexually harassed. She's part of the conversation. This wasn't a conversation between two people where a man comes up and is like sexually harassing a woman. This was a 20-minute long conversation that just kept evolving into creepier and creepier territories between three people. One man and two women, and the two women involved, he was only talking to me. He ignored that she was there at all, but she was like, dude, like, what are you saying right now? And then to me, she's like, girl, like, I'm not getting out of this conversation until you're safe. You know, we had like this moment where I think like there's actually, I'm back swinging back to TikTok. There's like a trend on TikTok where women will do this thing where they're like, only women will know the difference between these two looks. And one of them is the, like, what the hell is that person just saying? And then the next one's like, we're in danger. And like, you can tell the difference between those looks. Women have this subtle way of communicating with each other, especially when you're in duress. And when I was getting threatened with home invasion, which is just never something that should happen at work. Like, this wasn't locker room talk. This wasn't like, you know, slap me on the backside and ask me to go get coffee. This is not that. I was threatened in a very specific way, in a very dark and scary way at work. And then what happened to me afterwards was just unbelievable. And I agree, it's unbelievable. And I lived it. Yeah. But what I've done from the beginning on TikTok is I knew people were going to question me, because even after it happened, here's another connection. I don't know if you know, do you know, and I'm going to say his name, because again, like, the guy who trolls me online uses his full name. I've had to drop it a couple of times. But you know Damon Redman?
No.
No, okay. So he's an L&D, and him and I were engaged when all this happened. We were planning to be married. We had lived together for 3 years. He was a parent to my children. And he and I saw this entire situation that was unfolding, particularly with like the retaliation and trying to like push me out of my job in a completely different way. So mm-hmm. I knew that even people who loved me were not going to always have my back in this. So going public with it, I knew I was going to have to convince people with proof. And so when I came to TikTok, I came there with proof.
With
I
receipts, didn't just go as in. They say.
Yeah. My receipts. That's my thing, is receipts. I'm like, if you're going to be an asshole, sorry about the cussing, if you're going to be an undesirable person to me and you're going to put it in writing, I'm keeping that. Like, I got it. You know, like, I have a lot of evidence. I've got a lot of stuff to back up my claims. And the thing is, at work, it was never denied that it happened. Never. The company never denied it. The person who harassed me never denied it, because it was so public. There was no denying that it happened, but they didn't know what to do at that point, which should have
that.
Been
I don't understand protect that.
Me.
Yeah,
protect
yeah, I don't,
me
I don't understand
all the other women in that office. And that is not what they did. That is not what they did at all. They did the complete opposite. And since then, it has ruined my life on so many levels. Like, the relationship that I just talked about, we ended up breaking up over this because he was worried if I hired a lawyer, he would get retaliated against. And I'm like, wait, so you're okay with me against, but if it might pass over to you, that's a problem. Relationship over. To me, I was glad I found that out before I married him. Yeah. Because I was planning on spending the rest of my life with somebody that felt that way. And I started kicking out a lot of people out of my life because unfortunately, as you know, working for the company way back when, there was a point where they're often like several thousand dollars per referral.
Yeah.
So when I first started working at TD Ameritrade, and I was like, I came from food service. I was a pastry chef before I came there. And I was like, how many thousands of dollars? I'm like, how many friends do I have?
Yeah.
Is there a limit to this? I recommended all of my friends, which meant at a point, this company paid the salaries of everyone I loved. And it, what they've taken from me is unbelievable. They, anybody who's, and I even told you this when we first talked, if you support me and they have anything over you, as in your paycheck, they will come after you. And they have, they've done that to so many of my friends to the point where they couldn't be seen in public with me anymore. And when you have friends for like decades, you know, of your life that are so close that your kids consider them, you know, like aunts and uncles, and you can't see them at Christmas, and you can't go to their Friendsgiving because you can't accidentally end up in a picture with somebody and they might lose their job over it just by being associated with you telling the truth about what happened to you. It's just, it's been a nightmare. But then on the other side of it, like, I did use that. I made it into fuel to make a point. And the point was, this has to stop. It's 2022. This should not have happened in the first place. Shouldn't have happened in the first place. Should not have been handled the way that it was. And when I went to TikTok and people heard me, and I went viral at a point somewhere, and I'm not sure we talked about this, like around that time frame would have been October-ish, that I went totally viral, and one of my videos was seen over like 4 million times before my, you know, account was taken down. When that happened, the CEO responded back to me and said that they were going to do an investigation, and I was really hopeful that they were going to look into this and be like, okay, TD Ameritrade, Charles Schwab, as you know, like bought TD Ameritrade, and Charles Schwab going in and being like, okay, maybe there was a toxic culture here that we need to take a look at. This is what I hoped. And I know that this was wishful thinking on my part now, you know, in hindsight, but I was hoping that they would go in and they would see everything that was happening there. And they would be like, okay, let's clean this out. Let's, you know, change some things up again, make sure that people have like a way of reporting this stuff where they don't get like terrorized afterwards. And I was hoping they would do the right thing. And to me, that would be the right thing, would be to address the culture that allowed this to happen. And that's not what happened. That's not what happened at all. Once again, I gave them the opportunity to not be terrible. And they took that and terrorized me more than they already had. It was crazy. There's been an ongoing outside counsel investigation that has been going on for 6 months at this point. 6 months over an incident that happened for 20 minutes, as I said, between three people only. They've been investigating that for 6 months. And I realized they're not investigating themselves. They're investigating me. I'm right. Being investigated. And I'm being stalked by the company. I mean, that's stalking when it comes down to it. They're looking into everything. They've gone into my financial records. They've gone into my divorce papers from years ago. I mean, every single thing about my life. And they already knew a lot because I worked in the financial industry. I had to give them every address I'd had for 10 years.
That's one thing I don't like about the industry.
They have so much information on me already.
You have to get approved. I had to get approved to have a side business or two side businesses. Like I get it for the insider trading thing, but like,
I do.
Yeah, this has nothing to do with that. So yeah,
no, it doesn't. I get that. It's invasive. It feels really invasive where I don't have choices in what I do. And even from there, and I'll warn you about this too on a personal level, it's nearly impossible to get a job in the finance industry after something like this. After I was terminated, I was out.
After seeing the way that things were there, I had made the determination long ago that I was never going to be in the financial world again. Number one, my reasoning was different than yours, mm-hmm. but my reasoning was, you know, it's finances. It's all about the money. Whereas me, I like to have a little heart in what I do. So There had became a point where I just made it strictly, I always say this, strictly transactional. I gave them 40 hours a week. They gave me benefits and a paycheck. And that was it. I don't like that. Yeah. And I used to care about working and my level of work and whatnot. And still, just for me, even though I didn't care about working at the place, I was going to make sure to still do my job. But they weren't getting any extra from me. And I say that I allowed them to dull my flame a little bit for some time. And that was on me. I shouldn't have allowed them. I shouldn't have given them that
power. There's no way you couldn't have, though. You would have been fired sooner if you had, you know? You can't even say that. Like, trust me, where you're at right now, I was at in May. I went through all of those stages of grief to a point because, again, like, you probably have a 1,000 friends left there too, you know, people that you love, and it's hard. It's like, it's a lifestyle too, because they do try to make it like a family. Yeah. And, but they do that to exploit you, to get that little bit of extra. It's like, don't worry, guys, you're going to work 70 hours of overtime. Cool. We're going to buy you a pizza. And like, I just want a life. I don't want a pizza.
You know, the thing that always gets me was when they would be like, and I won't say any of the upper management's names, although I want to, but they'd be like, you know, we in investor services, we had like a lady, I think she was like in New York or something, or Jersey. And then, you know, we had one of the directors here in Omaha, and they're like, we value your time with family and we know that it's crucial. And then in the next breath, they'd be like, who's volunteering to come in on the holiday? And I'm like, but you just said you value my time with my family. Like they can't close for a day, like on a holiday. Yeah. Like, why is it so? Just man up and just say, no, we're going to be closed on Christmas. No, right. We're going to be closed on Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm.
Whatever, man. Like, I don't understand why they didn't close on market holidays. You know, it's like, because I think that customers might understand market holidays, they won't get the customer service treatment that they would on days the market was open. You know, yeah. I feel like human beings can, and you know what? I think the pandemic has actually taught people a little bit with that. Like, for example, a lot of companies have been doing this, have been actually taking care of their people, like Walgreens, for example. There was a Walgreens that I went to that was open 24 hours before the pandemic. Now it has very set times, and they even have, we take an hour so our people can breathe, like from 1 to 2 p.m.
Yeah, I've seen that, yeah.
It's like, you ain't getting nothing from us. And I love that. I'm like, thank you. I will come to this place more because I know the people who are helping me are being taken care of. And like with your small guy thing and like even me being, you and I are so much alike in that sense. And I will say this about TD Ameritrade though. And this was actually said by a friend once, I'm stealing her line and I loved it. And there was definitely a paradox for me within this entire experience where I loved the company so much, I wanted to protect them. But then at the same time, what they were doing to me was so terrible, I needed to expose them. And like in my head for quite a while, I was on a mission to like help everybody still working there have a better environment, thinking I could do that. I have since realized that is not within my power. Mm-hmm. That is not within my matrix of control. Took a while. I'm not always good at knowing what I can and can't do. You know, I kind of think that I can do anything until I prove that I can. But what she used to call TD Ameritrade, and I loved this, was the island of misfit toys for lost artists in Omaha. Yeah. And I'm like, think about it though. Am I wrong?
Yeah, that's
funny. She was right. It was the people there. You, me, her, all of our mutual friends that we know and love, and all of these people were just incredible human beings. And that's why you would let them exploit you at the beginning and be like, yeah, I want to hang out with my friends. This is going to be cool. And then all of a sudden they're pinning you against each other and being like, I'm going to pin you for leadership. And you're now going to have to renounce all of your friendships, treat them like absolute dog poop. And now come into our little manager leader club. And I'm like, I don't enjoy that.
I will say, like, I knew going in that I was never going to be in management because I didn't want to be, not because I couldn't be. Number one, I told myself that after I took those initial exams that I was never taking another exam again because it took too much time of my life. It took too much time away from my daughter, who was like 1 year old.
I love them. I was like the kid in school that's like, I want to take all the, I actually called licenses. I'm not joking. I called licenses Pokemon cards. And that when I went in there and got my first one, I'm like, got to catch them all. I want all the licenses because I mean, to me, it's just my likes. I like learning that kind of stuff. Yeah. I have 6 professional licenses that I spent an enormous amount of time getting that are all gone. That's like an education. That's like a master's degree that I can never use again.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of anger I have for it. I'm glad that I took the information. I don't look at anything and regret it at this point. I have no regrets.
Yeah, everything's a learning opportunity.
Exactly. It is. But it also breaks my heart that somebody sexually harassing me could take that away from me. It shouldn't happen in this day and age. And it's just a lot of cover up. They just are covering up their bad behavior instead of changing it. It is really that simple. That is how simple this all is. There's really nothing else to the story than that, except for just showing all the proof that it happened, if that makes sense. All the receipts, which I've thrown a lot of them out there, you know. I wish it was still out there for people to be able to see since it's all been taken down, but like,
yeah.
A lot of it saved other places.
Well, and what sticks out to me is what you said earlier in the conversation about HR not knowing what to do. Like, isn't that their job? Isn't that what they're supposed to do?
Right.
But then also, like, the manager thing, like, I just knew, I understood years ago. I had been with the company for 14 years.
Oh, wow. I didn't know you were there that long.
Yeah, yeah. Ooh. So for me, it was
a lifetime. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I started there because I didn't go to college, and it was an opportunity that came about, and I didn't know what I wanted. I found myself during my time at TD Ameritrade. So, you know,
it'll always be special.
Well, I knew early on what it was about, and I realized that it was about all about the money. Yeah, yep. Management was like, I don't know. I never fully trust managers. So
it was a popularity kind.
Yeah, I didn't. And I knew if you were a manager, like, you could be a cool person.
Yeah.
And become a manager, and I would respect you as a cool person, but at the same time, I know that you're drinking the Kool-Aid on some level, and like you're guzzling the, you know what I'm saying, but
just throwing it back.
Yeah. Like, so like I would never fully trust management. I had some really cool managers that were great people, and that you know that they were in your corner. So I'm like, but when it comes down to it, like, your ex, you know, when it comes down to it, like, are you going to pick me or are you going to pick the company?
Right. They pick the company every time.
Yeah.
It's almost to a point of being like I actually did a video on this quite a while. One of the videos that I think kind of like pushed me into a new audience on TikTok was somebody had made some sort of comment to me about being a young person, like young people these days. And I'm like, young person, I'm going to be 40 in a couple of months. You don't get to call me young. And I just went off and I was like really upset. And it was after I made this video about how I believe that corporate America, with their cultures, the way that they form them, is much like a cult. And I know that people throw cult out there all the time now. Mm-hmm. And I'm not meaning it in that way, but I meant it in an indoctrination sort of way where there is a level where they're getting into your life on so many levels, including and not limited to when you first started TD Ameritrade, at least when I first started a couple of years ago. And honestly, and I'm really good with dates, so it's kind of like an autistic, like ADHD thing of mine. I started at TD Ameritrade 5 years ago yesterday.
Okay.
So had I not been fired, my 5-year anniversary would have literally been yesterday. I started on the 13th of February. Several years ago, and it was right after I went through chemotherapy. So like, for me, it was like, it was very much a very new beginning for me because I was a pastry chef before that. It was the most money I'd ever made and the best benefits I'd ever gotten. And I was, Kool-Aid. Yeah. Oh, I drank that Kool-Aid. I was like, I was taking shots of the Kool-Aid on the bar, you know, like I was just like, I'm lining it up. I'm taking all the green Kool-Aid, you know, like I was all about it until I wasn't. Until they turned on me, and I felt turned on. It was such a shock to me, and I was embarrassed that I didn't see it coming because of exactly what you're saying. Like, you can't trust authority, Courtney. You've known that your whole life, but I'm like, but I still want to believe people are good. But the issue was, it was the culture, and you can definitely back me up on this. And everybody who has like watched a lot of my content, my early content, before I was getting stalked and harassed by crazies. Like before that happened, when I was actually making my own content that I was able to put out there without being controlled. Are we at time?
Oh, no, keep going. Keep going.
Okay. Before I was being bullied and like my content being, I don't know, like directed by these people, I was making a lot of content where I was talking about the actual culture in corporate America, at least from the perspective that I had. And I felt like TD Ameritrade's culture was high school, but like the worst high school. Even, and I went to two separate high schools. I even went to one locally. So I went to like Scott Catholic High School for 1 year, and I just had my 20 year, you know, I've thrown how old I am numerous times out here, but I had my 20 year reunion this summer. But I went to Scott for 1 year, and then I went to a school in Memphis and finished high school there. So I've gone to two high schools. So I feel like I have a really good, you know, outlook on it. My high schools, both of them, put together with the drama and the politics, doesn't even hold a candle to what the politics and drama in the high school immaturity mentality with like the mean girls and the popular kids and the leadership and the backstabbing. Mm-hmm. And it was insane. And I after a while, once I kind of caught on to that and I got into my groove when I was there and I was like, okay, I don't want to go into leadership either. I had the same thing as you. I was like, I'm taking that off my IDP. Yeah. I don't want to be part of that. They don't want me either. Like, I would be the worst manager to them because I would be very fair and I would constantly be fighting for people not to be treated the way that I was treated. And they didn't want that. They didn't want that because that leadership though.
Makes like, no sense.
You're okay. The name of your production company, small guy, you're for the little guy. You would have never, ever been allowed to be a manager at TD Ameritrade because you have compassion for other people and you put them before money and profit, and that is a total lie. I was recommended to go to TD Ameritrade. I had somebody recommend me that was a managing director. Her and I were friends. Our kids played football together, okay? And when she told me to take or to like apply for the job, we were on the sidelines of our kids practicing football. And we, you know, our kids were all friends, lived in the same neighborhood, knew each other for years. This is that kind of relationship. I started TD Ameritrade, and I'll tell you her name offline here. I've not name dropped her, and I'm not going to. Yeah. But she knows who she is too. She and I were really good friends. She turned on me through this and turned on me to a point. We're at school last year. My kids were getting, these are things that I haven't talked about publicly because these are the things, this is the personal stuff. This is the cost. This is what they have cost me, what they took from me. And you can understand this from a level of you work there. You can totally see how this would happen. My kids at school were getting bullied because their mom was, and I quote, lying about rape for money. While I was still working there, when I hired a lawyer, when people didn't know who I was, like this has been ongoing for 2 years, depending on what level at TD Ameritrade you were, you either knew my story from day one or you only came on to it depending on what stage of social media I was announcing it, you know? But I've lost so many friends that like I don't trust people, you know? It takes a lot for me to like break my wall down and trust people because of this. And I've actually actively had to, like, even with you reaching out, I'm like, I don't know who this is.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
I'm gonna have to vet you. I'm gonna have to ask around. And I did. And like, there's a couple of trusted friends of mine, actually two women. We've already discussed these two people. I'm like, do you know this person? I see that you have mutual connections. They're like, I love him. He's great. Talk to him. And I'm like, okay, yeah. I will. You know, so, it's like.
So, and I'm going to cut you there and I'm going to give a story. Then we're going to go to break and then we'll pick it up in the next segment. But
yeah.
So I've been hanging on by a thread for a very long time. And I've been trying to work on Small Guy and Omaha Fatty, and that is what was keeping me there. I had been applying for places outside of there, but not as fiercely as I should have been. I wasn't attacking it because I didn't really want to necessarily go to another place. And it was there. And when we began to work from home, it made it very doable. Like, I can stay out of the BS and not have to deal with management and all that, by working at my house. And, you know, it was a relief for me. It still sucked, but I was like, I can do this. I can work from home and make this money and have these benefits. And then it just became a thing where they wanted me to get on phones, and I was like, I'm not doing that, bro. Not doing that. So
you should have. Yeah. I mean, I am with you on that one. Yeah, that, no. I mean, that is ridiculous.
No. Well, and then, so I'm a huge believer in everything happens for a reason. There was a reason that I didn't get any of the positions that I applied for or heard back from. And I don't know what it was. I thought maybe I was supposed to really blow up, like right now in February was when I was thinking that everything was going to blow up and become big. But that hasn't happened. But then I was like, I think this is, this is why.
I think maybe it is happening.
Yeah, this is why I was like, this was meant to be. And I will tell you that there was someone, a friend of mine who we do jujitsu together. Mm-hmm. He had said to me one class, he goes, hey, have you heard about that lady from TikTok, that like the Omaha Oracle? And I was like, yes, man, I'm aware. I see a lot of what she posts. I've been to her Twitter account and whatnot. So for me, I don't know when it happened, but I had it in the back of my mind that if I were to ever separate from the company, like I was already going to tell my story anyway.
Right.
And I've been through the years telling my story. Yep. But this was like, this is a different side. This isn't anything that I've had experience with. But after I posted, and again, financial planning, financial-planning.com mm-hmm. is yep. where I read that article, and I shared it on Facebook. And when I shared that article, there were at least two other women who confirmed what had happened and or that they were aware of what happened. And there was another person who I actually was on the same team with many years ago. And you said the guy's name, the manager's name on the phone when we talked, and mm-hmm. she mentioned that same manager and said that she was not surprised that it had happened. So that for me cemented it to let yeah. me know that, okay, like there again, where there's smoke, there's fire.
Yeah.
So, I'm just allowing you, I'm not going to get on my opinion of the whole thing. I'm just letting you tell your story. Sure. Yeah. But we're going to break it right here and we're going to come back for a second segment. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Usually we release the podcast on Sundays, but we're going to do a midweek drop on these podcasts. I think we're going to do, I'm not sure if we're going to do it weekly or if we're going to do back-to-back days or how we're going to do it, but we're breaking it up into two segments. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Please make sure to subscribe. If you're on YouTube, you can subscribe and hit the bell icon to get alerts for new content whenever it's available. And if you're out there listening to the audio streams, you can find it anywhere. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. Anchor is the main platform that I use that ships it out to all the other platforms. iHeartRadio, Radio Public, CastBox. We're out there. As we end every episode, smile, help someone else smile, laugh, and help someone else laugh all day, every day. Please come back for segment two of this episode of What's Up, Omaha.